comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. Well, last night was a big show, huh? We had Anthony Sanchez on, and we were talking about this new book that he's got out called UFO Highway. The core of that book, of course, is an interview between Anthony and a retired U.S. Air Force colonel. And so we spent 2 hours talking about that and then went into after hours and opened the telephone lines. Well, tonight is going to be sort of a follow-up to last night's show. It's not going to be a rehash of last night's show by any stretch of the imagination. But it's going to be sort of a follow-up. And it's important that we do that for two good reasons. Now, the first reason is because the UFO community has been burned so often, so severely, so frequently by spectacular stories that then turned out to be untrue. And the second reason is because the UFO community has so often burned itself by throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Two extremes, and neither of those extremes are necessary. Anthony Sanchez's book presents some fairly spectacular information, and he says that this information was provided to him by a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who had worked at a secret underground base in New Mexico that we all refer to as the Dulce Base. It is an amazing and an engaging story involving the entities that we know as the Greys. And it even talks about battles with them. But is the story true? Is it part true and part disinformation? Or is it all a hoax? Well, some people are sending email to me and saying, I just don't know whether I believe this or not. Or, you know, that has the ring of truth about it. I believe it. And others are saying, I think it's all bogus, and I don't believe it. Well, you know, before I get into it, what I'm going to say about believe. What a waste of energy to believe or disbelieve anything at this point. At this point, in fact, it's a waste of energy to believe or disbelieve anything, period. When we're talking about UFOs, underground bases, possible alien races, to believe or disbelieve is a sheer waste of energy, complete waste of gray cells, because either this stuff exists or it doesn't. It's either there or it's not. There's nothing to believe or disbelieve. However, with the story, there are certain things we can check out. And that's what we're going to begin to do tonight. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back. And as I said tonight, I'm going to begin with something. I don't know how many of these I will do. I'm not going to do a series of these, for instance, tomorrow night. I don't have another one planned and so forth. But along the way, in the weeks ahead, I'm sure that I will revisit the UFO Highway. That's the book. That's the name of the book. And bring you some more information. So this is not, you know, like tonight we do one, tomorrow we do one, the next day we do one. It's not like that. But we'll begin tonight taking a look at such evidence as is available to us. I want to say this before I dive into this. You know, I have recommended that you get this book. And I want to make sure that everyone understands all the parameters of why I'm recommending it, and even factors that are not why I'm recommending it. First of all, I'm not getting a commission, so it's not like I'm pushing this book so I get some money. I'm not getting a commission off of this. I wasn't offered one, and I didn't ask for one, and I never do with a guest, because that can color. Even if I really think you ought to get a book and read it, if I'm getting a commission off of it and I'm recommending it, you might think, well, he's just recommending it because he's getting paid. Well, I'm not getting paid, and I'm recommending that you get the book and that you read the book. Okay, so you go to UFOHighway.com, and there's a link up at the top that says ebook. Click that. That's where you buy it. And it's an ebook, so you can download it immediately. So money is not involved in why I recommend that you get the book. I'm also not recommending this book as an endorsement. I'm not endorsing the book and saying, boy, I think this is it. This nails it. This is the definitive story here about Dulce. That's not it either. It is because there is new information. Now, it may be real information, it may be disinformation, but it's new information that we've not had on Dulce, on this underground base. You know, the story about an underground base at Dulce has been around forever. Lots of people have written things about it. Phil Snyder used to do seminars and lectures about it and so forth. So I'm not endorsing this and saying, boy, this is it. This nails it. I'm saying it's an important book because it provides new information and it purports to be information from a retired U.S. Air Force colonel. There are four reasons why the story, probably more than four, but there's four reasons that come to mind immediately why this story is important if it's true. If this information is true, there are four big reasons that jump out immediately at me. And the first one is, for the very first time, we are given the name of the base. We always just call it the Dulce Base, as you know, for shorthand. But it's not in Dulce. It's north of Dulce. And this book tells us, the colonel tells us, what the government calls this base. Is that true information or not? Well, we don't know for sure. But if it is true, that's an important piece of information. According to the colonel, the Greys do exist. These little entities that we all call the Greys. And we usually refer to them as the aliens. They do exist, but according to the Colonel, they're not extraterrestrial. They were created right here on this planet. And he tells us by whom they were created and why. Also, and this is very, very important, if this is true, it's critically important. The Colonel tells us about a conflict within our government between two groups. One group is the MJ-12 / Aquarius group. The other is called the COM-12 group. The COM-12 group are people who are in the military and who are constitutionalists, according to the Colonel. And there has been apparently even armed conflict between these two factions. Now, don't you think if that's true, that that's an important piece of information, especially if you live here in the United States of America? I would think you would have no trouble seeing that that is excessively important. The fourth reason that I think this story is important, if it's true, is because according to the Colonel, the faction that's in control of this base north of Dulce, New Mexico, is not COM-12, the constitutionalists, but MJ-12, the New World Order people. So I think those are four very important factors that sort of jump out and say, if this story is true, these are some really important facts that you've been given here. Now, there's no way for us to unravel all of the mysteries in just one show, and there are many mysteries in this book. There's no way for us to shine a light into every dark corner, and there are dark corners in this book. But what we can do is we can begin to look at some of the evidence that is available to us. Looking at evidence, it's unfortunate, but it's a reality that not only in the world of UFO enthusiasts, but really across the board, people live with their emotions, and they live with their emotions right out on their shirt sleeves. And they say, well, for instance, I'm going to vote for that guy because I feel like he's got the best program. I feel like he would be the best. How's that working out for you, America? How's that working out for you? In fact, over the, say, past 50 years or so, how's that been working for you? There are people who feel like this story is true. There are people who feel like this story is not true. And frankly, your feelings are not worth a tinker's damn, because it doesn't matter if you feel like the story is true. If it's really false, your feelings won't change it. If you feel like this story is not true, and it happens to be true, your feelings have no impact on that. Your feelings are completely, absolutely, totally, irrevocably, and irreparably irrelevant when it comes to determining whether something is true or not. I can tell you there are things that are true that if I had to go with my feeling about it, I don't like that truth. And my feelings would tell me to reject that truth, and yet it is true. So what we're going to attempt to do, there's no way that I can unravel all the mysteries, but we can look at some of the evidence that is available to us. Now, if you heard the show last night, you heard us discuss something called a DD-214. Those of you who are in the military or have been, you know exactly what that is. That's what lots of folks call their military discharge papers. It's a form that officially states that who you are and that you have been in the military. It tells us what your final rank was, your pay rate. It tells us, you know, the address, your address of record when you joined the military. It tells us what education you had in the military. It tells us where you were stationed. It tells us whatever kind of commendations you received, medals, etc. It's your military history. And then it tells us that you've been discharged, and whether it was honorable, dishonorable, general, medical, all that's on this form, and it's called a DD-214. In the book, Anthony Sanchez provides us with the DD-214 of this colonel. Now, there are problems here with the DD-214. I mentioned it last night, and the first problem is that this colonel who is talking to Anthony Sanchez tells him that he goes by a different name now. Now, Anthony first met this guy in his office at a university where he was teaching. That's the first place Anthony met him. And face-to-face meeting. The problem that we have is this. The first problem. The colonel tells Anthony that he no longer uses the name he used in the military. He's changed his name, his appearance, his identity, different social security number. It's all been changed. And then by whatever means they apply for and get a copy of this DD-214. And this name, of course, that's on the DD-214 would not be the name of the person that Anthony was talking to. Anthony was meeting a person using a different name than what is on that DD-214. So there's no way to verify that this DD-214 actually is the DD-214 for this person. Now, Anthony described certain measures that he took that satisfied him that it is the correct DD-214. You understand what I'm saying? Now this guy is teaching in a university, so maybe his name is Professor Smith. But his real name that he used when he was in the military maybe was John Jones. However, when Anthony meets him, it's Professor Smith. When they get a DD-214, it's for John Jones. How can you be sure that the DD-214 matches the professor? How can you be sure of that? Now, I think that Anthony has probably, to his satisfaction, resolved that it is the correct DD-214. I think he would understand, and certainly should understand, that we would have questions about that. And then the colonel tells Anthony several of his security measures that he has in place. For instance, as soon as this interview is over, I'm out of here. You will never see me again. I'm not returning to my home. I'm not returning to my place of employment. I'm moving elsewhere. My family will follow in about a week. And they do not know my name. The name that they know is not the name that I used in the military, that my real name. So I have a different name. Their name is different. And so this is my security. Well, there were also a couple of places where the colonel told Anthony that There was some information that Anthony asked about, and he said, well, I can't tell you that because it really would get me killed. Okay, now, if you've gone to these elaborate measures to provide for your security, you've got a whole different identity now and all of that, and you're going to talk, and you're going to tell this guy, Anthony, you're going to tell him everything, and you hand him a DD-214. You got to know right then and there that if that DD-214, any significant part of it is reproduced as it was in the book, the guys in the military like that are going to know exactly which colonel it is. They're going to know. So when I asked Anthony the question last night, it's a question I still have. When I asked him the question, it was based on all that, and the question was, why have you blacked out the name of this colonel on this DD-214? He doesn't go by that name anymore. He provided it to you. You print it in the book, minus the name, but even minus the name, everything else on it identifies him for the military. So what's the deal with blacking out the name? Now, Anthony said, well, I don't know. That's at the request of the colonel. Well, see, folks, that makes no sense. It makes no sense to provide something that can identify yourself, can identify who you are. You provide it and then say, take the name off, and yet everything else on it still identifies you. It makes no sense. So there's something really odd, something very curious, something very strange right on the front end of the story. Now, I'm not saying that this story isn't true, and I'm not saying that Anthony lied to us. That's not it. I'm saying there's something in this somewhere with this colonel. There's something right on the front end of this that doesn't fit. Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back from this break, I'm going to put the DD-214 up on our TV screen, on our TV channel, and those of you who are watching will be able to see it. Those of you who are listening, I will describe for you what we are going to be discussing, and there are some interesting, I would say, irregularities about the information on the DD-214. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's talk just a little bit before we put the DD-214 up on the screen and delve into this. Let's talk just a little bit more about the incongruity of the necessity for blacking out the name on the DD-214 and the ID number, which of course these days is the Social Security number. Okay, I can understand blacking the Social Security number out because you don't want that out there in public for everybody. But the name, if I no longer use that name and have truly taken steps, where I have a new name and new identity and nobody knows me by that old name anymore, what does it matter if that old name is out there? There's something out of joint in that logic. And I'm really not, you know, I've got several theories behind this DD-214 mystery. It is a mystery. I've got several theories. I'm not going to put them out. There's several scenarios. I'm not going to put them out. And yet, by the end of the show, I think you will come to, at least privately, come to some of the same conclusions that I have. Some of the same scenarios will run through your head, I think. All right, well, let's take a look at a DD-214, the DD-214 for this kernel. On the television screen, people are seeing the top portion of this DD-214. Now, there are some things that I'm going to highlight on this, and we're going to scan down the page and look at some things. But the very first thing that I want you to see is what's written across the top. The very first thing says DD-214 in big bold letters. And then it says certificate of release or discharge from active duty. Okay, so this is a standard form that is used by our military. Everybody who's been in the military has one of these. If they're no longer in the military, they've got one. And then right under where it says DD-214 is a place for the name of the service member, and it would be in the form of last, first, and then middle name. And that's been blacked out. Now, that is, of course, in my opinion, quite curious. And I've explained to you why it's curious. Directly under the name is, well, let me just go ahead and put up something where I've got some things highlighted. On your screen, you see a white number one and an arrow, and then a red circle at the end of that arrow. This is where it tells us the rank of the individual to whom this DD-214 pertains. This is a colonel. To the right of that, it tells us his pay grade is 06, and then his date of birth. Well, the date of birth has been blacked out except for the year, and that's a little curious. But not quite as curious as what comes next. And I don't even have a circle around it. I don't even have it highlighted in any way. But for those who are watching, if you look directly under where it gives his rank as colonel, look directly under that, and it says place of entry into active duty. And it says North Highlands, California, right? Now look to the right of that, and it says home of record at time of entry, and it asks for the city and state, and let's see, the city, the writing is pretty small on this, looks for the city and the complete address. There you go. Okay, so we know that his entry into the Air Force took place in North Highlands, California. His home of record at the time of entry says address not available. Don't you find that a little odd? Where do you live, guy? I don't know. So what we're looking at right there, in my opinion, is a bit of information that has been sanitized. Not by Anthony Sanchez, but by the military. This was sanitized. Now, why would they do that? Now, you know, it just says address not available. You don't know where you live. What's your home of record? Let me ask you, right now, sitting right where you are, why don't you just say it right out loud as though I were there to hear it? What is your address? Is that hard? I mean, is that difficult? What's your address? Well, on this DD-214, the address was not available. All right, let's go back and take a look at this. Then, if you look at number two here, the white number two, actually it's pointing into a box numbered 11. What we're looking at in box 11, it says primary specialty, and it lists clinical psychologist, and it says 12 years and 11 months. So he was a clinical psychologist for the U.S. Air Force for 12 years and 11 months. This is going to be important now, folks. After the 12 years and 11 months, he's transferred to Special Investigations, OSI, 4 years and 2 months. So this is a total of 17 years and 1 month of active service. 17 years and 1 month total. Unless there was some overlap. And that we don't know. I'm not sure about. There could have been some overlap where perhaps while he was a clinical psychologist, he may have also been serving as a special investigator or special agent for the OSI, which means Office of Special Investigation. Okay. Now, that's going to play an important role in what we find here. In the, let's take a look at the next slide. Okay, there we go. In the next slide, we have several things to look at. And what we're doing is just moving down the page on this DD-214. And for those of you who have a DD-214, you can take a look at yours and you'll see whenever I say this is box 13. All right, it says decorations, medals, badges, citations, and campaign ribbons awarded or authorized. Okay, he's got a lot of them. He's got the Air Force Organizational Excellence Award, Air Force Parachutist Badge, Air Force Commendation Medal, Air Force Achievement Medal, Air Force Good Conduct Medal, the Lance P. Seajun U.S. Air Force Leadership Award, Air Force Recognition Ribbon, Air Force Communications and Information Badge, and the Air Force Intelligence Badge. Okay, so he's had a busy and apparently successful career. Well, that's also going to be pretty interesting. You can see to the right of that, those who are watching, box number 14 says military education, commissioned officer training 5 weeks in 1967, special investigators course 10 and a half weeks in 1969. All right, he came into the Air Force in 1967. Now, I tried to find out, and I don't know the answer to this for sure, but I think your basic training, you know, boot camp, I think that goes in that box too, and it's not there. When I open up the telephones later, some of you who have been in the military and you have a DD-214, you can tell me, you can call in and tell me, inform me, if basic training, if boot camp goes in that box. If it's on your form, then it should be on this form, but it's not. We start out with officer training, commissioned officer training, 5 weeks in 67. 2 years later, there's 10 and a half weeks of special investigators training. Okay, so that's why I say there may be some overlap, some period of time when he's working as a clinical psychologist and is OSI. That's a possibility here. Now let's go back to those awards. Let's go back to those medals. And there are two in particular that I want us to take a look at. Look, there's one I haven't highlighted, but don't you find it odd that a clinical psychologist has a medal or a badge, not a medal, but a badge, as Air Force parachutist? And he's a clinical psychologist? How many clinical psychologists are jumping out of airplanes? It's a little bit odd. Could be, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you counsel people on the way down. But anyway, we're going to take a look now at a couple of these medals. Those who are watching can see two medals that this colonel has on his DD-214. And the one on the left is called the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal. Now, that is actually listed further down the page. It's not listed in that box. Okay, it's not in box 13. But it is listed in box 18. Air Force Expeditionary Medal and the Combat Readiness Medal. Air Force Outstanding Unit Award with Valor. Folks, every one of those has to do with active duty in a combat zone. The Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal is awarded for campaigns in which the Joint Chiefs of Staff have determined that there were sufficient numbers of service members who came under fire from foreign forces or were in a position, they were under threat of and in a position to come under fire from foreign forces. This particular medal is awarded when there is no campaign medal. For instance, we had this little thing that we refer to as the Gulf War. Okay, now the Gulf War has a Gulf War campaign medal. It was an official, upfront kind of conflict. It was not a secret conflict. So it has a campaign medal. Secret conflicts don't. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're going to continue talking about this colonel's DD-214. This is the colonel who gave this interview to Anthony Sanchez with all that information in it about the Rio Arriba base. That's he says, is the real government designation. It's not called Dulce Base. It's called the Rio Arriba. Okay, let's go back to the DD-214. And that's the wrong slide. Let's get the right slide up. We were talking about the medals and awards. Now, the slide that is up now does show box number 18, I have a white 3 beside it with an arrow pointing to it. And if you look real close, you can see the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal is the first one listed. And the slide that's coming up now shows that medal. Now, as I said, this medal is given for campaigns and, I should say, also operations that don't have their own campaign medal. So a secret operation, a secret campaign, would not have its own medal because it's secret. If our troops are, for instance, working in a UN peacekeeping mission and then come under fire and there is a firefight, a heck of a firefight, then the people that are involved in that on the American side would likely receive this Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal. Okay, so that's what it's used for. It's used to recognize their service, their exceptional service, under fire or in a hot situation, a hot zone where they could have come under fire. And it's not, you know, one of those out front, in your face official campaigns or operations. So that's what it's for. Now, he received that. Now, you know, we could say, well, okay, maybe he was in, you know, maybe it was because he worked in that base and the story about the Grays and how dangerous they were, and, you know, because there's been a couple of firefights between them and American forces, according to this colonel. One in 1940 and one in 1979, according to the colonel. So maybe that's what it's for. I don't know. The next one is pretty curious, because listed in his list of medals is the U.S. Air Force Good Conduct Medal. That medal is only given to enlisted people. Now, for those of you who don't know, I think most of you do, but for those of you who don't know, you have enlisted people, and then you have the officers. Okay, it's two separate groups. The enlisted people are in line for the Good Conduct Medal, but not the officers. So, when I said there's some irregularities here, this is what I'm talking about. Now, it may have a good, simple explanation. Maybe when he came into the Air Force, he was enlisted. Where's his boot camp then? It's not on his DD-214. You see my problem here? If he was an enlisted man and then became an officer, then while he was an enlisted man, he would have been, he could have received this U.S. Air Force Good Conduct Medal. Once he became an officer, he couldn't get that medal. They don't give it to officers, at least according to the documents I read. Well, it's listed, and I showed you on the TV channel a picture of the medal. I'll do that again. That medal, it's on the right, it's the one on the right, that is for enlisted personnel only. If you are a colonel, you're an officer. You're not enlisted. At the time that he was serving at this base in northern New Mexico, he was a major, according to his testimony. He was a major. That's an officer. It's not enlisted. And so, how'd this happen? Well, as I said, if the explanation is that he first joined the Air Force as enlisted personnel, then he could have been in line to receive this Good Conduct Medal. And where's his boot camp, his basic training? It's not listed on his DD-214. He is a clinical psychologist on the DD-214 and has the U.S. Air Force parachutist badge and has medals that have to do with combat. Okay, let's talk about some of those combat medals. He's got the, we already showed you one, we're showing you one right now, the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, Combat Readiness Medal, Air Force Outstanding Unit Award with Valor. Now, that's a little ribbon bar. And if it says with valor, that ribbon bar will have a bronze V. right in the middle of it. And you earn that in combat. Okay? So, you know, there are irregularities here. There may be some really good explanations for that, but there are irregularities. How do you get the Good Conduct Medal if you're an officer? That's for enlisted people. If you got it when you were enlisted, why isn't your basic training on your DD-214? Irregularities. Maybe it's just a paperwork thing. That's a possibility. Nevertheless, those are some irregularities. All right, now in this box that has the number 3 beside it and the red arrow pointing into the box, and it lists those medals, there's, if you're watching on our TV channel, you can see there's an area that has a very light yellow highlight on it. Here's what that says. Are you ready for this? 14N4, staff, Rio Arriba CO, comma, DSD3. Now, throughout, there's some more. I'll read it in just a moment. Throughout this book, the colonel keeps talking about DSD3. This is a unit that works there and provides security there at the Rio Arriba secret underground base, as he describes it. Okay? So that's on the DD-214. He tells that to Anthony, and that's on the DD-214. And then it says, are you ready for this? Full retirement merited under special order for DSD-3 service. In order to retire from the military, my understanding is you have to put in 20 years. You put in 20 years and then you can retire. He put in 17 years and 1 month. 17 years and 1 month at the maximum. Now, if there was some overlap of those two specialties, you know, one specialty was clinical psychologist, the other was spook. Special agent for the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations. So if if those overlapped, then he didn't even have 17 years. He would have had maybe 16 years. If they didn't overlap, then there were 17 years and 1 month. Takes 20 years to retire. And he's authorized full retirement. It was merited based on a special order for his service with DSD-3. That's what it says. It's a special order. That's pretty interesting, don't you think? There's one more thing that I found pretty curious about the DD-214. Well, we'll get to it right after the break. Don't go away. More mystery from the DD-214 right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking tonight about the key figure in this book, UFO Highway. It's a brand new book written by Anthony Sanchez. The key figure is an unnamed colonel, and there's a lot of mysterious stuff around this this person. And he tells you some of the mysteries. He's changed his name. He's changed his identity. His family doesn't even know that that's not his real name. It's not his birth name. I'm looking tonight at evidence that is provided by Sanchez in his book. Evidence given to him by the colonel, provided to him by the colonel, and that is in the form of a DD-214. And I'm just looking at some of the really strange irregularities on this DD-214. Not only is the colonel's name blacked out, not only where it says home of record at the time of entry, that means at the time he became U.S. Air Force, and that's where you put the address. What was his address at the time he became U.S. Air Force? Instead of having something there and having that blacked out, on the form, it's typed in by the military, address not available. We have a clinical psychologist. Says so. This clinical psychologist jumps out of planes and has medals for combat. Not impossible. Obviously here, we have it. Little bit strange, I think. We have full retirement merited by special order based on DSD-3 service. DSD-3 is basically the security component at this secret underground base that the colonel's talking about. 17 years and 1 month of service. That's almost 3 years shy of retirement age with the military. And he gets full retirement merited based on his service in DSD-3, based on a special order for that. All of that's strange. We have a medal that can only be given to enlisted men. And there's no indication on the DD-214, on the discharge papers, that he was ever enlisted. He was an officer from the beginning. Apparently, that's what it looks like. There is yet another little bit of a mystery. At the bottom of the page on the DD-214, there is a place for the service member signature. And those who are looking at the screen can see the large blacked out box on the left. That's where the signature would be. Well, there is a yellow highlighted box to the right of that. There is an arrow going to that box, and there is a question at the bottom of our screen. It says, why is this official's name blacked out? Now, what that is the official authorized to sign this document. And it would have the name typewritten in there, and then it has the rank. Rank is Master Sergeant. U.S. Air Force. And then there's another blacked out box. We don't know what would go in there, but it's readiness and then blacked out. Why is that official's signature blacked out? Look, this would be simply someone who is basically, and under normal circumstances, you're talking about someone who is basically U.S. Air Force bureaucrat. I mean, he's a military guy, but he's like a bureaucrat. He's in an office. He's processing papers, or she, processing papers, and their name just goes in there automatically as the person authorized to issue this DD-214. Why is that blacked out? What's secret about that? So when we take the whole DD214, we look at the whole ball of wax here. It looks almost chaotic. We have a clinical psychologist who is a spook. And I don't say that as a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what's on the DD214. He's a clinical psychologist. He's also a special agent for OSI, U.S. Air Force OSI. He's a clinical psychologist with combat medals. He's a clinical psychologist with a parachutist badge, with the U.S. Air Force intelligence badge. What do you think all that means? I'm going to open up the telephone lines because I got to tell you, folks, frankly, I've run this many scenarios through my head over the past 24 hours trying to sort this out. And quite frankly, none of the scenarios that I have been able to run fit all the details here. The details don't fit any normal, regular scenario. What do you make of this? The telephone number, and I really want to know what you think about this. I really do. Look, doesn't matter. North, south, east, west, from one side of the country to the other, you have opinions about what we've just learned here. In Canada, in Great Britain, in all of the UK, in South Africa and the rest of Africa, Australia, all across Europe, Northern Europe, Central Europe, Southern Europe, and all across Asia, we have people listening, and you have an opinion about what all this means. Frankly, I can't make heads or tails out of what it means, other than I'm looking at what appears to be a sanitized version or a sanitized DD214 that tells me I've got a guy here who's a colonel. He's a psychologist. He jumps out of airplanes. He goes into battle, and he can get medals that only enlisted men can get. I don't know what it means. But it doesn't look normal to me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ray from Orange.
Hello, Ray from Orange. Did you say Orange?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But I'm at a distance now, so everything is safe.
Okay. What do you think about all this, Ray?
Doing, Kevin? Hey, you know, I'm retired military with 22 years, and I also have, in those 22 years, the Navy, and then the Marine Corps, and then the Army. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at that DD-214. It doesn't look right. Is that thing Photoshopped? Because the blackout looks so perfect being blacked out, it doesn't look like a marker ran through it.
Yes. Anthony Sanchez loaded this into his computer and put the black blocks on there before he published it.
Okay. I just wondered because it was so perfect. A normal marker going through there would just be up and down or ribboned looking.
Yeah.
But what I know about DD-14s or 214s is that information just doesn't go together. It's inconclusive, incohesive.
You mean on this one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he had enlisted service, that stuff would be on there also. So my opinion of that is, based upon my experience, is that's a hoax. I don't believe it.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this DD-214 supplied by this colonel is a hoax.
Yes, I'm just saying whoever supplied it, it doesn't matter. I'm looking at the paperwork and I'm saying it doesn't make sense. the military is really stringent. Those S1 offices, which is the management office, mm-hmm. and that's not put together properly. So I'm just on the look of it, it just doesn't appear to be a real DD-214 or filled out properly.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I got a couple of questions for you now, because you've got a lot of experience here, all those different services that you've been in. By the way, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much for telling me that.
Ray, you went through basic training, right?
I did.
Is that on your DD-214?
Pardon me, can you say that again?
Yeah, is it on your DD-214?
Oh, yes, it is. In fact, I did go through Navy boot camp, and then when I went into the Marine Corps, I went through Marine Corps boot camp. So I had both of them listed on there on the separate DD-214s that I received.
Okay, well, see, and I'm looking at this. See, I think even officers have to go through basic training, don't they?
Yes, that's correct, and it would be listed on there. And the whole time that they went to that basic training or the initial entrance there, that would be stated on there, and also their MOS, which is that number, and then the noun name of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing that's listed here is commissioned officer training for 5 weeks and special investigators course for 10.5 weeks. That's all that's listed.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. There should be a lot more in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and now the second question I've got for you.
Yes, sir.
Is there any possible way that an officer could receive the Good Conduct Medal?
Because the only way possible that would happen is if he was enlisted before he was an officer.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up a lot of information, like why wasn't he in officer candidate school or training before he became enlisted, because they would have caught that. Because I also, in my Army service, I was a recruiter. So they're tested. I know all this in the 200 book, and that's what all those recruiters out there use. And it tells you when they test if they have all the documented schools and credits and have graduated. They usually push them for officer's candidate school mm-hmm. or training. So if
how long is the officer's training school?
That
officer candidate school. How long is that?
Well, let's see. A regular basic training is about 2.5 months. So I would think it'd probably be now that one you're going to get me on, because I'm not sure if it's as long as enlisted.
Okay, so the 5 weeks that's listed here could be the correct number.
I don't believe there's a 5 week school at all. I mean, they used to, when World War II came along, or Korea, they call them 90-day wonders.
Yeah.
So it's got to be about two and a half months, I'm saying that, just from common sense.
Okay. All right. So, well, we'll leave that one in the we don't know yet column.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But we do know that in order to get that that medal, the Good Conduct Medal, you have to be enlisted, not an officer.
Did you read that in the qualifications?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, if it's in there, there's no way possible that he can have that unless he was enlisted first, and there should be a DD-214. Okay, there should be a DD-214 that's an enlisted DD-214.
Okay, all right, so he may have a separate DD-214 for his time when he was enlisted.
Correct, but so I think that's another thing that pops up in my mind.
This, okay, but
if his service was, I think you have to spend 3 years as an enlisted.
That's correct.
To get that,
That's right. Okay.
So I had a lot of those. That's all I had.
Yeah. Okay, but look, if there's a separate DD-214 for a period of time when he may have been enlisted, the good conduct medal would be on that DD-214 and not this one. Because this one is when he's an officer.
Well, it would make sense. It would only be on the enlisted, and then they close that out, and then he would have a DD-214 for officers because they're a commissioned or management person, you know, and they can put papers into, leave the military, whereas an enlisted, well, they are under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to fulfill their military obligation with whatever amount of years that they are required to put in.
Yes. So if you sign up for 3 years, you got to do 3 years.
Correct.
Yeah. And whereas an officer at any point can resign his commission and go away.
Correct. Mm-hmm. They have an option there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also at the time that your enlistment is running out, you have to go see a career counselor who tells you all of your options to reenlistment versus getting discharged. So, I mean, there's a lot of fail-safe things there along the way to, you know, allow you to reenlist or truly get discharged if you had other things like, marriage or going back to college or whatever it is that you plan on doing.
All right. I said that those were, I just had two questions, but I do have one more. Am I incorrect? Doesn't it take 20 years to get full retirement in the military?
Absolutely. There's only one other instance where they would discharge you early and give you full credit for 20, and that has happened after wars when the ranks were too high, so they optioned out. They gave a 19 years, 6 months as an option to get out with full 20 retirement.
You ever heard of anybody getting it at 17 years and 1 month?
Absolutely not. The only way that you can get out at that time is if they actually discharge you for something an offense that you've done and you've been discharged officially because of, maybe going to jail or whatever, and the other one would be medical.
Well, this says, and you apparently have a copy of the book, am I correct? Do you have a copy of this book?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So you were just looking at the DD-214 on screen.
Right.
Okay. Full retirement merited under special order for DSD-3 service. Ever heard of anything like that?
I have not.
Okay.
Now, we know the president can do an executive order, so there might be some officials in the military that can actually do that, and then they delegate that to whoever they are assigning to be able to allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, I've never heard of that. I've never seen a DD-214 like that, and I know it would have to be way up there, the chain of command, to even have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's special ops, there might be something in there. I'm just saying there might be something in there that allows them to do that for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one's a possibility.
It is a possibility. I'm going to have to lean on the impossible for my own peace of mind on that one.
All right. Okay, Ray, I got to run along. I want to thank you for the call.
Absolutely, Kevin, and keep going, man. I love the show. A lot of times I cannot see you live because I'm too tired. I'm working 12-hour days, and I'm pretty worn out. But I love the show. Keep it up.
Thanks much. And be safe in Orange County. All right. 623-444-5889. Or toll-free 888-223-4599. I really want to hear your opinions about this, okay? Many of you are former military here in the United States. and you know what a DD-214 should look like, and you know whether this thing is regular or irregular. To me, look, I was not military. I tried to get in the military, but I had a damaged knee, and so I didn't get to serve. So what I did is when I got a chance to become international police, that was the next best thing. So I served in areas that our country had an interest, and peacekeeping missions in some cases, and as international police. We don't get DD-214s, okay? So I've seen my dad's. He was a Marine, and I've seen his DD-214, but I didn't get one because international police don't get them. Still, this one looks irregular to me, and I'm just asking, is that correct, or am I incorrect here? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kathleen, and I'm in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay, this is what I noticed. It says that he's a clinical psychologist. However, it takes a PhD to be a clinical psychologist. And on the bottom it says he had a bachelor's from Loyola.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense to me right off the bat.
Well, now let me tell you about that.
Okay.
Normally, what you just said is correct. Normally, that's the way it is. Actually, you can be a clinical psychologist with a master's degree, but you have to have an additional certificate for that, for counseling.
Okay.
Okay? But in the military, if they have a special need for something and you have a certain profile, you've got this bachelor's degree in psychology and the rest of your profile fits what they're looking for, they may just assign you to do it.
Ah.
Okay. And so,
you
know,
the title without the education.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does happen. And I know, I personally know people who have been pulled into jobs like that in the military.
Okay.
That I met while I was overseas. And I know, I mean, like, even with international police, I got pulled into a job that I didn't want. I severely did not want that job. And I was happy. I was absolutely happy. I was an intelligence officer out in the jungle.
Okay.
And in one afternoon, they had me in headquarters in one of the big wheel jobs. And I didn't want it just because of what was in my profile. Gotta run. It's a break time. Thanks for the call.
Cool.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Our telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, the telephone number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You can call me too. We had a call from the UK last night. We've had calls from Germany fairly recently. We've had calls from Taiwan, from Japan, from South Africa, from Australia, from lots of places. Lots of places. And so we'd be glad to hear from you wherever you happen to be. But if you're outside of the USA and Canada, we do realize that is an international long-distance call. And so we have flash messages for you. What you can do, go to my website, scroll down, find the picture about tonight's show, and to the right of that, you'll see a link that says flash message, all right? If you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephones. We'll even pay for the call. And I would like to know what your opinion is about this. When I look at this, this is a cursory investigation on my part. You know, I got out my Sherlock Holmes lens, and I went through the DD-214, and I researched each of these metals. And I looked at all the other stuff, too. And it just doesn't, look, it just doesn't seem to fit like it's supposed to. It's more kind of skewed. And, but I could be wrong. And that's what I want you to help me with. I don't know whether I am coming to the right conclusions about this. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
One thing that struck me odd, this character has supposedly taken a new identity.
Yeah.
Changed his name, appearance, whatever, I guess, to hide himself from the government or former whatever. But we're talking about his retirement. Unless he's just given up his retirement, somebody knows where he is and who he is. They're not just sending a check to Joe Smith.
Well, that's right. And let me say, because I'm absolutely certain we will have some government folks listening to the show, and I don't mind because I like listeners. It doesn't matter who they are. But look, you government folks, if you've got a pile of checks in there because they keep being returned, you're not getting them to the right guy, make them out to Kevin Smith and send them on. I'll take them.
Yeah, send them to me. It's the whole thing's like cheese. It's got a lot of holes in it, and cheese begins to stink after a while. So,
well, you make a very good point, though. You know, if he's on full retirement, he's getting a check.
Yeah.
So they know
where he is.
In fact, they know where his bank account is. They're direct depositing to the bank.
That's true. That's true.
So there's no real way to hide, is there?
No, there's no way to hide. Not if they've got your numbers.
Yeah.
And if they're sending him money, they've got his number.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Very good point. So then if they already know, and as I pointed out to Anthony last night, even with all this stuff blacked out, you put this in your book, they know exactly who talked.
Sure. Yeah. Somebody's going to look at that and say, oh, the psychologist that was out in California or something, I served with him, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, just from what information's on it, somebody that knows him would know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So well, and
he's not really hiding.
I'll tell you something
to
else.
Hide, he shouldn't have given this DD-214 to anybody.
Let me tell you what else they can do. They can enter all of these medals and just do a search for anybody that has that exact list of medals.
Yeah.
And there won't be but one that has that exact list.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be like decoding him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. Retirement. Yeah, you know the old mantra, follow the money. If you follow the money, money always goes home. It goes where it's supposed to go. It goes home. So if you follow the money, it will lead you home. And, as a matter of fact, very good point. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. While we're waiting on that next call, let me make a comment or two here. You know, one of the real dangers here as we start looking at this, we can get to a point where we say, okay, this whole DD-214 is, like one person said, it's a hoax. Our last caller said it's like cheese is full of holes. I do see irregularities on it. What appear to me to be irregularities. Yes, I do. But remember, I've told you, one of the really, really common tools when you want to manage perceptions and you want people to not look at something is to put it right in their face. Mix it with some information that is sure to be shot down. And then they'll throw the whole story out, the baby with the bathwater. Is it possible that that's what's going on here? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave from beautiful downtown Pahrump.
Well, hello, Dave in Pahrump. How are you doing?
Slightly short of magnificent, thank you.
Oh, well, good. What do you think about this DD-214?
My personal opinion is you never know.
All right. Elaborate on that a little bit.
I'll do that. Thank you. I just got a copy of the records that the Marine Corps has for me when I was attached to them. Funny thing is, I don't have anything from the Navy that shows that. I do have something that says that I was a all kinds of things in the Navy, but nothing like what I did. And it's interesting that I just got this document from the Marine Corps about, a month or two ago. But what's even more interesting is I look for my original DD-214 that I had in a book, and the whole book is gone. Now, can I say that this guy is a fake? I'll say one thing. It looks like his records have been jimmied for sure.
All right, let me ask you something, Dave. What about what about this medal for this good conduct medal? That's for enlisted people.
Enlisted people only.
Yeah, and it's here on this DD-214.
I listened to your whole show.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a big cover-up to pay him for something that he did or he knows. If he's even real.
Okay. He's out talking to Anthony Sanchez about this, we call it the Dulce base, this underground base north of Dulce. And he gives some amazing details, as you heard me talk about them. Some amazing details that we haven't heard before. All right. How does that fit with a DD-214 that you say, in your opinion, someone has jimmied the information? How does that square? I mean, is it possible that he really was there and he really saw this stuff and it's a true story? And then somebody has monkeyed around with his DD-214 for some reason?
That could be, but if you recall the last time that we talked and that gentleman called from Florida that was your friend that mentioned White Sands Proving Ground?
Yes.
Four levels down?
Yes.
I have a door that's been opened, but I can't get through that door on that memory.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to this gentleman privately because I have a sense of something that's in there that is true about Dulce. And right now I've got cold chills going up and down my back like someone's listening in, but that's all right.
Well, maybe it's always possible that this person, the colonel, may be listening. And if he is, Colonel, if you get in touch with me, I'll put you in touch with Dave. So there you go.
But I, you know, it's like that old saying, until something is, like Duncan has said many times, if you can't verify it from at least three sources, don't take it to the bank. But I have a sense of what you have said. I didn't listen to the show last night because I was working on a computer. But I have a sense that there's a lot of stuff in there that has never been brought out before.
Well, certainly in this book there is information, important information, if it's true, that has never been brought out before, to the best of my knowledge anyway. But, you know, there's always, Dave, you know how they do it, man. They give you a whole bunch of real stuff. It's right up in your face. But then they put some stuff in that's disinformation that's guaranteed to be shown to be disinformation. And then people just throw the whole story out, throw it all out and say it's all a hoax. When in fact, they just gave you a big ball of real wax. But they know you'll throw it away once you find and prove the disinformation. This thing with the medal for good conduct, and that's on an officer's DD-214, very well could be that thing. It could be the you know, one of the things they expect us to find, and then just throw the whole story away.
Very good point you've brought up. Excuse me. It's actually raining here in beautiful downtown Nevada.
That's hard for me to imagine, rain in the desert.
Hasn't rained here really in 6 months, and we're getting a decent one tonight.
Dave, I want to thank you for the call. Interesting points. Wow. Someone jimmied his DD-214 information around. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. If you were to look on any documents about my service in the international police, there is a period of time where I was chief of a unit that it won't be listed. Now, I can prove with paperwork, but you can't find that paperwork unless you get it from me. Are we looking at something like that? We'll be back. Back to the Kevin Smith Show and the discussion of the military discharge form called a DD-214 provided by Colonel Whoever to Anthony Sanchez. And we have a flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Good show tonight. I have a feeling that the DD-214 is a fraud. It is my opinion that the said colonel is made up. Mr. Fernandez, actually it's Sanchez, has a big problem on his hand. In your opening statement at the beginning of the show, you pretty well made the point about some people who are giving false information in the UFO genre. By the way, a friend of mine retired from the Army, was 17 and one half years because of a bad back. I retired from the Army with 22 years old and tired. Yeah, if you have a disability, you can get a disability. It's not the same as retirement. You do get a disability retirement or disability benefit. But that's not the case with this one. And let's see what we have here. Ross in the United Kingdom. Maybe the blacking out of the names is so that members of the UFO community cannot trace the identity of the colonel. maybe to avoid a repeat of the Pickering case and Source A being contacted. Cheers, Ross. Could be, could be. Now, look, Sanchez was asked, Anthony Sanchez is the author of the book. He is the guy that the colonel talked to. And he was asked in another radio interview, is it possible that this colonel is just playing you, that you're being used? And Anthony said, well, yeah, that's always a possibility. And folks, you do have to understand, those of us who do bring information out, we, you know, I do it with a radio show. Sanchez did it with a book. When we present information, just presenting the information doesn't mean that we're endorsing the information. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find it from my on my notes from last night. But Sanchez puts a disclaimer right at the beginning of his book, and here it is. And here's what he says. The opinions expressed in this interview are the interviewee's own personal views and do not reflect those of the author or publisher in any way whatsoever. So if this story turns out to be fraudulent, it doesn't necessarily mean that Anthony Sanchez is fraudulent. If this is a hoax, it doesn't necessarily mean that Sanchez is in on the hoax. However, if it turns out that this is all hoaxed, then we have to consider what role did the message bearer play. Was he just the message bearer, or was he playing a more intimate role in the hoax? And that goes for Kevin Smith as well, does it not? This is, by the way, one of the reasons I never endorse a story. I never say, boy, I know this is true, if it's somebody else's information. They have to stand on their own two feet. They have to convince us that it's true and give us the evidence for it. But now, if it's my information, and if I've seen a UFO and I'm telling you about it, I don't have any problem saying to you, this is true, folks. I saw this. Now, that doesn't mean I can prove it, but it certainly means that I can vouch for the information myself because I saw it. But here we have a message bearer, Anthony Sanchez. He's bringing us a message from this colonel, an interview. The information that's in this interview, if it's real, there is some blockbuster information in this interview, if it's real. I just don't know. As I said, is it real? Is it true? Is it partially true and partially disinformation? Or is it all a hoax? I don't know yet. It's too early to know. But when we look at the evidence that we do have, and that DD-214, that's evidence. When we look at the evidence that we do have, I see things in that that raise questions that cause me to say, that doesn't appear to be regular. That doesn't appear to be right. That doesn't seem normal. And I think probably the biggest thing in there, the biggest thing that it just jumps up and screams, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right, is that metal. It's called the U.S. Air Force, Good Conduct Medal. Because only enlisted people can get that. And this is not an enlisted person, this is a colonel. And we've heard tonight from callers, and one caller said, look, you know, if you were enlisted and then you became an officer, you have a DD-214 for the time you were enlisted, and then that's closed out, you're discharged as an enlisted person, and you have a new DD-214. You have a new DD-214 for being an officer. That being the case, the enlisted man's medal should be on the enlisted man's DD-214. So I don't know. I do think that right here at the beginning, we need to consider the beginning of being able to investigate this. Because the book just came out. So the very beginning of being able to investigate this and sort of begin to unravel it and take it apart and look at it, we need to keep in mind that one of the best ways to get you to say, none of that's real, is to put the real information in front of you and mix into that information some stuff that's going to pop up as being bogus. Mix some bogus stuff in and make sure it's going to pop up. Well, that's one. That metal is one, isn't it? Or it appears to be. To me, it appears to be. And then they know that people will just say, the whole thing's a hoax. It doesn't mean the whole thing's a hoax. If this DD-214 has been, as one of our callers said, jimmied, if that's what's happened, and they've put some stuff in here to make us realize, hey, this is bogus, that doesn't mean that the information in that book is bogus, in that interview. And it does mean that if they've done it here, if that's the case, if that's what's happened here with the DD-214, then they probably have put some more bogus stuff in the story. But they've also probably wrapped up a lot of real stuff and put it in that ball of wax and put it right in our face. So I would hope you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's comb through this. Let's investigate it. Some of you are excellent researchers and investigators. Tear the whole thing apart. Read the interview. Tear it apart. Check everything you can check. See what you can find. And let's see if we can put together what parts of this are real and what parts may not be real. We may come up with none of it's real. We may come up with some is real, some is not. And we may come up with it's all a true story. We don't know yet. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.